Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Talos of Tech Podcast, episode 5 after the Christmas season. This is right, I think, before... Yeah, this is the last Talos of Tech Podcast of 2017. Wow. And I'm joined once again with your co-host, Nick. How's it going?
I'm doing great, Drew. It's been an interesting week. First, I want to...
The whole week, yeah.
It has been for both of us. First, mm-hmm. I just wanted to thank all of our listeners who have provided some really good feedback for us. I just wanted to give everyone a little backside update real quick. We are working on our audio quality, so hopefully this episode will sound much better than the other ones. I'll switch some stuff around in the background and try to crank the volume up for some people and also try to remove some echo. So appreciate the input. Keep it coming. You can tweet us at TalosifCast with any feedback or suggestions you'd like to make. And with that, I think you got a cool Apple product this week.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, it's there. And yeah, iMac Pro is quite the most expensive, not only most expensive Apple product I have ever purchased, but the most expensive thing. I bought my car a long time ago, and it was a really good deal on it. So, it was actually under the price of this thing. So luckily, I was able to get the exact model I wanted, and it was delivered 2 days early. So it was expected on the 28th, and we got it on right after Christmas, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Delivered pretty early in the morning, too, which was nice. And I got a little business discount on it, so getting the 2 terabyte option was a bit more feasible. Still very expensive, but very, very happy I've got the 2 terabyte option. And
Yeah,
it's by far been the most exciting thing more recently at the office. I'm just looking at it right now. I've already used 1 terabyte.
Oh, wow.
In the past, 3 days?
Wow.
Yeah, that was fast. So we're mostly just because I'm experimenting with it. So like every game I can find, I download. Every video now, I record at high resolution stuff. And I have a lot of 2X stuff. Experimenting on it and stuff like that. So
sneak peek.
Real exciting. iMac Pro is not 2X though, just to be clear. But still, it's definitely been very, very exciting to finally have something that's just like, what's lag, you know, like I can throw anything at it and it can handle it so far. No issues, no bad things to report on it yet. Just an overall fantastic experience. A lot of hidden surprises I wasn't expecting, like the black Apple stickers, which
yes,
I've yet to decide where to use. The magic mouse, magic trackpad, and keyboard all space grayed out is beautiful.
Don't forget about that lightning cable.
And the lightning cable. I haven't used it for anything. I haven't plugged it into anything yet, but I don't know. I almost feel like the black iPhone, the black lightning cable from iMac Pro is the one exception to what I can charge my iPhone X with.
Oh.
Like break the portless challenge just for that. It's like it's the most premium of cables because it's like $5,000 minimum.
Yes.
Something crazy.
It's all you're buying when you buy an iMac Pro. You just buy the lightning cable. Nobody cares about the computer.
That's the whole purpose, yes. Yes, exactly. So it's been, yeah, it's just been wonderful. I have... God, like no complaints, really. I have nothing bad to say about it.
That's awesome. I recently, I was just in an Apple store today for a reason that I will elaborate mm-hmm. in a minute. I got to play with one of the demo iMac Pros, and I was impressed.
Got one. You saw one.
I saw one. I did not get one. Yeah.
That's two different things, yeah.
Two very different things, yeah. So I just mm-hmm. launched a Final Cut Pro, and... there was an 8K at 60 frames a second video that was just like sitting there all edited, waiting to export. It's basically just a demo of how fast it could export. I don't know if you've seen a demo model yet, but I exported it. It was a 30 second 8K at 60 video. It exported in under a minute. I was very impressed. So
do you know? Yeah. Do you know what model that was? Was it 18?
I should have looked. I don't know. I would have to assume one of the lower ones because that thing wasn't nailed mm-hmm. down to the wall. It was just your standard
yeah.
power cord, and it was just sitting there.
$13,000 machine on display.
Just sitting there. I was surprised they didn't have the magic mouse and the keyboard nailed down as well. people are probably going to walk away with those.
Super valuable, yeah. And they probably wouldn't chirp if you walked out of the store with them.
Nope. Slip it in your bag. Probably not.
But yeah, especially editing. After I bought the iMac Pro, I edited the next two tech vids on it. Nathan's back to editing on them now. Now I'm experimenting with multicam videos. Like, but before, right before we recorded this podcast, I'm working on our Last Jedi review for Talosive movie reviews.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts on that.
And me and Dan had a hour. Yeah, me and Dan had a hour long discussion. With three camera angles, each recording 4K at 30.
Wow.
Which I believe, if I look at the file here, it's about 130 gigs.
Wow.
And all of that's loaded into Final Cut, and everything's loading at I'm editing it with no frames dropped. I'm very curious to see how long it takes a 4K at 30 hour long video to export. I'm basically just putting it through its paces, testing out things and experimenting with speeds. And the tech vids, which were about, 9 to 7 minutes of 1080 at 60, export like in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I should have timed them about 4 or 5 minutes. It was fast. It was lightning fast. As you can imagine, the 8K at 61 exporting that quickly.
Yes.
1080 at 60, it handles no problem. So it's been complete overkill. I feel like I need to upgrade now. Like, I feel like I need more advanced footage to throw at this thing and experiment with.
All in good time.
This is a joke compared to my little Lumix cameras. Yeah, all in good time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gaming's actually been pretty fun on it, too, even though we sadly can't get Windows 10 to work on it yet. It's not up to date enough.
Really? Sadly, Windows 10 isn't, yeah.
Yeah, we tried to, it's not boot camp. Some people were getting misunderstood about that. They're like, Apple needs to update boot camp. Boot camp does its job correctly. It's once you get into the Windows 10 installation process, it'll stop you and say, the hardware is too advanced, or this hardware isn't supported by Windows 10. So it literally will not install just because of the newer CPU and GPU. So I don't know when Microsoft is going to update that. I haven't heard. They haven't issued any statements. But until then, sadly, we're limited to basically Mac OS supported games. But even those, just installing the ones that I do have, run extremely well. I've been able to run Counter-Strike 5K at 60, Rocket League 2K at 60, because that's as high as it goes.
Uh-huh.
Minecraft 5K at 60, of course, and Portal 2 does 5K at 60. So everything's basically 5K at 60, which is something that I think now makes sense, because I've mentioned I have friends with 5K iMacs. I've used them before. I have experience with iMacs, the 5K ones. It's very difficult to find content that actually works on the 5K display. I mean, there's not a ton of 5K videos out there. It's kind of difficult to find even, like, for a lot of people, finding internet that can play 4K video, or where to find 4K video. Like, one of the things I did a couple hours ago was watch MKBHD's 8K upload.
Oh, wow.
I actually got it to work. If you use Chrome, Safari doesn't let you. I don't think YouTube wants Safari to. But if you're on Google Chrome, you can watch a video in 8K. And just watching that is like, yeah, it's sharp. Even that, I feel like YouTube does a certain amount of compression.
Yeah.
You don't really get to truly experience it. I'm sure the raw file that Marquez exported looks a lot better than the YouTube file. So having those, not graphically intensive, but pretty good macOS games on there is really, really cool, because you get to show off that Retina display in all its glory. So that's been wonderful.
That's pretty awesome. Have you thought of mining bitcoins on it?
I have, actually. I recently watched Everything Apple Pro's video on all the devices he put the digital currency miners on.
Uh-huh.
I don't know too much about it. I'm not an expert, so I'm not even sure what the hash rate is.
Yeah.
Do you know more about that?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
I was wondering if you knew. I'm sure it wouldn't be as good as a dedicated miner, but probably better than an iPhone.
Yes, I imagine it's pretty good, but I've discovered that after that everything Apple Pro video, you need quite a lot of powerhouse to make a little bit of money. And at that point, it's like, well, am I just running my CPU and GPU into the ground? Because over time, the more you use it, that they degrade. Even if it's not battery powered, they can slow down over time.
Yeah, even not to mention the electricity bill.
Yes, that's true. That would run up. And yeah, I definitely would like to try it sometime, finding out what the iMac Pro's hash rate could do. But not at this point, I'm more curious of what it can do that I would like. If I found out that it could make an extra, I don't know, $10 a day, I'd be like, oh, okay,
Yeah.
great.
Pay
It's
for
like
itself
wonderful.
over a couple of years.
Yeah, it would take a long, long time, but I think it would likely degrade in quality over that
True.
experience. Every time you sat down on it, it was just super hot and it'd been running all day and stuff like that. But
Yeah.
really hasn't gotten that hot, really, or loud. That's one big thing I was kind of worried about when I've used my friend's 5K IMAX, is that when they get hot, that fan in it kicks in and gets super, super noisy. And I can barely hear the fans on this one ever, no matter what I'm doing on it. It's wonderful.
Well, the fans might be quiet, but I'm pretty sure that the speaker system's pretty loud. Do you want to elaborate on that one?
Exactly. Yes, they got that right. Keep your fans quiet and your speakers loud. And that, man, I heard they redesigned them. I did not expect them to be this loud. I mean, it's a notch below a Home Max. It's not Home Max quality with terms of bass and sound quality. The speakers aren't pointed at you. I think that's part of it. They're pointed straight down. But I think, like, I've noticed that when I play stuff at a higher volume, and you can feel that bass, it's amazing. They've got speakers on like the top of the Mac too, not just the bottom, which is
Really?
really interesting that they've got. I think subwoofers in the top or
Oh,
something, but
wow.
you can feel it or hear it like coming from both the top of the Mac and the bottom. So it's definitely something they thought about, which I appreciate. I really love it when a company, especially Apple, goes all in on a product and just says, you know what, spare no expense, just do it whatever we want and they'll pay it. In the right.
Yes, they are. So speaking of things that are expensive and that everyone thought was too expensive, I recently purchased an iPhone 10.
Yay! Congrats, Nick. You
Thank
caved
you.
in, huh?
I
You're
did
on the 8 plus,
cave.
right?
I was on an
So how did that work?
I still have an 8 plus.
Oh,
So
okay.
basically, when I got my 8 plus, I traded in my 7 that I had unlocked to Sprint, and they basically gave me the 8 plus's lease for free. I think it worked out to be like 30 cents a month or something. So I
Oh,
really
wow.
wasn't paying
Dang.
to lease the phone, which was nice. And I've been thinking about getting a 10 for a while, and the last straw was my coworker who works in the cubicle directly next to me just got an iPhone 10. And I was like, you know what?
Wow.
If she got an iPhone 10, I need to get one.
It's
So I pulled up my.
literally that old trick in the book that everyone else is getting them.
Yeah, pretty much.
It works with Apple, yeah.
Definitely. Yep, so it was only like
So
30.
did you get the space gray or the silver?
Silver. Gotta go silver. That's my
Nice.
ecosystem. It
I'm actually
matches.
glad. Yeah, I
Yeah,
know
go
too
ahead.
many people with the space gray one.
Yeah. Do you know anyone with a silver one?
I don't actually. Basically everyone I know who bought a 10 got space gray, and everyone I know who wants a 10 would also get space gray. I mean, I do prefer it, but I like knowing people with both.
Yeah.
It's just to know.
Yeah.
I think the space gray sold a lot better
I'm sure it did.
from what I've seen. But I know you have the chrome stainless steel Apple Watch.
Yes, and they
And
match
boy, that,
perfectly. Oh,
yes.
completes my ecosystem.
Yeah. If you're ever in the Oroville area, we need to take a picture of, my stainless steel space black and space gray iPhone 10 next to your chrome
Yes.
Apple Watch and iPhone 10. It would be perfect.
That would be so nice.
That's beautiful. So how do you like it? What do you think?
It's smaller than I expected. So I really
Yeah.
was trying to hold out for next year's bigger 6.5 inch iPhone. So I didn't really want to go into an Apple store and experience it because I was afraid I'd get a little too used to it and start not liking my 8 Plus, which is a very capable phone still.
Very, yeah.
So I only held it like 2 or 3 times just in an Apple store, trying to just get enough of a fix so that I wouldn't be too worried about it, but also not spoil myself.
Yes.
So in my mind, I always thought it was a little bigger than it is. And I know everyone says that it's just the smaller 4.6 inch phone stretched out.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and it does really feel like that. I was expecting it to be like a little, I don't know. It just is different, you know.
Yeah, it is.
But I definitely
It's
love
a
it.
it, yeah, it was a definitely a curve once I got my 10, getting used to a smaller one than you're used to, especially after you've been on a plus model for so long. Yeah,
Yes.
definitely a noticeable shrink.
Yes, it is. It is. It's awesome. Face ID works. I don't mind the notch at all. I
Good.
actually kind of agree with you. I like it. Yeah, just in the
I really
couple.
prefer the minimalism when it comes to the widgets on top. I think companies get carried away with all the icons they slap up there. It's the notifications, and then enable location, and then your Wi-Fi, and then your Verizon name, and then all it gets carried away. And I
It
like
does.
that they minimize that to, okay, you only have a third of the space you had before with the two ears now. So they kind of have to stuff everything in there. I prefer it that way. I think that's better.
Yeah, it is. I never realized that to turn on the flashlight on the home screen, you have to 3D touch. That was
Oh yeah,
probably the
that's something a lot of people I hand my phone to don't realize. They tap it and nothing happens, and they go, "What do I do?"
Yep. Very
Yeah,
confusing.
it's a little different. I'm expecting them to hopefully change those one day, and you can alternate between them, or at least bring those 3D touch quick gestures to the other iPhones. I don't know why they're only on the 10. That's not
Yeah.
something that the 10 can do that the 8 can't. I don't know why they did that.
Exclusivity.
Yeah, I guess. I do use that a lot though, actually. When I look up at my lock screen and I just 3D touch for a flashlight. It's pretty handy.
Yeah, I can see that.
I guess they're kind of acknowledging the control center's in a weird place.
Is. I'm still
So
getting
like
used
if you
to
had the other phone. Yeah, that is a bit different. I'm so used to it now. I have large hands. It doesn't bother me, but I could definitely see it working somewhere else.
Yes,
I'd be fine with that.
it should move. Hopefully they fix that. So I'm going to be trying to use both my 8 Plus and the 10 concurrently and
Wow.
together and side by side, because I'm paying for
Okay.
both of them. I might as well use them both.
Yeah.
And it is one of the most confusing UI. It's not what Apple intended when they designed the iPhone 10 to have you also be using an 8 Plus, because every time I turn on my 8 Plus, I swipe up Control Center and I'm like, wait a minute, no, it's not what I want.
That is a very difficult curve. I guess I don't do that, so I don't really know what that's like. But yeah, if you were doing both in the same time, I can imagine that's getting
Yes,
kind of confusing.
it
You're
does.
reaching up and swiping down for no reason, and like, oh no, that's notifications. Oh wait, that's control center. Yeah, they really changed a lot. The 10, I don't think we're gonna get a change like that ever again. Quite
Yeah.
a substantial both UI and design change all at once.
Yep. Pretty
Yeah.
special that we got it all in 1 year.
It was. It's we were spoiled this year, I think.
I think so too. No one's gonna appreciate next year's iPhone.
Yeah, it's gonna just feel like a more perfected version of the 10, I think. It's a little bigger now. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Or it's a little cheaper, or a little better, like smaller camera hump or slightly better Face ID. I'm definitely getting it, but for my job, of course. But I'll enjoy it, but I know that it won't get the kind of attention or the amount of leaks that we got for this year's. It's just not as exciting. I'll have to think of something else to clickbait people with in 2018. We'll find something.
Yep. So there's been some news on this whole iPhone battery throttling and debacle. thing. Oh, yeah. Care to update our listeners on this? Don't spend too much time. Yeah. We don't want to waste too many brain cells on this, but
that's okay. No, a lot of people have been asking about this, so it's probably wise of us to comment on it. Yeah, they issued that giant apology explaining as to why they did that, as to why it makes sense, and how they're lowering the price of the battery replacements now to $30. So if your phone, after 3 to 4 years, okay, your phone may be 2, maybe 3, even 4 years old, and it's getting so slow now, to fix it, $30.
Yes.
And then it's back to its original speed. Now I don't understand how someone could be upset.
Absolutely.
I personally don't understand why they apologized in the first place. I don't think they needed to. What did you think of the... Did you read the letter?
Not entirely. Been kind of having a little busy week. Year end as an accountant is always busy. But
That's fair.
I kind of... When I first read the headline, I was like, of Apple dropping the price of the repairs down to $30. I kind of thought that it was just all the CEOs and CFOs and all the important people at Apple. They got around on a table and they were like, we don't like all the bad press we're getting. What can we do to make them all shut up? Offer this for practically free, and then they'll have no basis to complain.
What I am more confused on, and I agree with you. I think that they were just like, we're dealing with so much crap right now, especially with the lawsuits, which is really frustrating to me. Hearing about someone saying they're going to sue Apple for $1 trillion and then ask for the chief of staff to go to jail. It's like, guys, they didn't murder anyone. They tried to make your phone last longer, and you're mad that they didn't tell you. Like, I don't know. Maybe don't expect your phone to change your life. Maybe if your phone's acting a little bit slower, you can just either think you need an upgrade or do a little bit of research. Don't just point fingers at Apple customer support directly. They said. And now everyone's just, how do we get $1 trillion out of this deal? Like, they're basically saying that everyone who works for Apple, anyone who enjoys Apple should just, like, die, and the company should die, and everything they've created is horrible. Like, it's just ridiculous. There's no reasoning with that. There's not any kind of logic in regards to just trying to get as much money as they can out of them. But recently, a lot of Android competition said that they do not slow down their phones.
Yes, I did see that.
They issued statements. What did you think of that?
Every phone does it. I mean, well, first off, what was it? I think 9to5 Mac tweeted. I'm kind of a 9to5 Mac fan for any of the listeners listening. I think 9to5 Mac tweeted, you can't throttle an Android phone with a software update because Android phones don't get software updates.
It's true.
I just thought that perfectly summed all that up. That's perfect.
Well, yeah. They either don't throttle them, and that kind of results in the problem that, as many commenters I have read, this isn't just me making stuff up, as I have read from many commenters, Android phones get slow very quickly, and I've experienced this firsthand as a Galaxy S8 owner. I didn't even own it for a year. I owned it for 3 months, and after the second month, it was already starting to die down. It was getting slower. It was running out of... You know, it was glitching. It was running into bugs and features I didn't like. It's just very frustrating to have all these competition just say like, "Oh, well, we don't do that. Apple's messed up." But it's like, did you guys read the article? I mean, you guys use lithium batteries too, so you're basically admitting we don't down throttle our phones. We just let them die after 2 years. It's because as a lot of people I know who have Android phones that get that old, the batteries definitely go down on them. Performance definitely goes down on them. It's, and like you said, they don't down throttle because that would require updates. They don't get updates very much.
They do not.
And I don't think the Android community, the brands, don't really care about how long they last because, I mean, they don't even care what software it's running. They let Android just... They let another company handle software. Their job is to make hardware. Apple makes everything. So,
Kind of makes me wonder what Google's going to do with the Pixel 3 and 4 and 5 when all those phones are new. What is the Pixel 1 going to look like? Because that was really like a 2016, 2015 phone that was released with older technology. And I just think they're going to have quite the support headache with that in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the reason we're hearing so much about this is because so many people buy Apple's phones and expect them to last a long time. And not really that happens with the competition. I don't think, honestly, that first of all, there's just a lower number of buyers. There's just not as many people, at least in the U.S. or as of recently. I know there's more Android phones on the market, but a lot of them are very, very cheap phones, and that's why they sell. Like the Samsung product lineup, the cheapest phones are the ones that sell the best.
Yes.
Whereas with Apple, it's the exact opposite, which is what I'm trying to say, is that like the Android has a larger share of the market because in other countries that people buy $100 Android phones, it's more common. Same reason Hondas are more common. The issue with that is I feel like there's more people with older Apple phones than there are people with older Android phones. I don't think there's as many people in the U.S. or in other countries that have Android phones that are getting 3 to 4 years old. And if they are, they're definitely slower. And if they're not down throttled, it's because they never were fast and their battery's failing already. I know people with Galaxy S4s and 5s that die before they get to zero all the time. It's a very common thing. Samsung's not issuing updates to those because they're still running Android Lollipop. So,
yeah. Fun.
It's such a mess. I hope people really get over it and that the lawsuits get nowhere.
Yes. I don't think they'll go very far. I mean, Apple acted in the best interest of everyone, so. Yeah. In my opinion.
I think the judge is going to see that. Yeah. I think the judge is going to be like, well, they could have done nothing and made the experience worse, so what do you want exactly? Yeah.
Yep. So, moving into 2018, have you seen the new activity challenges?
I did, yeah. There, I saw it in the activity app, which is, I believe, what was it, 7 days in a row? Close all the rings?
Yep, 7 days in a row does not have to be over like a specific week. You can start Wednesday to Wednesday, basically.
I'd like to do that. Are you going to do it?
Yep. When I got my Apple Watch, I made a promise to myself that I was going to fill every single one of my rings every single day. And so far, mm-hmm. I've done that. I am on...
Wow.
Let's see. Look at my longest move streak is 97 days since I've had my Apple Watch.
Wow, nice job. It's pretty. Yeah, I've been falling behind on mine more recently. I gotta get back on it. But that achievement decided for me. Luckily, I'm closing mine today. But yeah, I've been between a lot of different projects and a lot of desk work I've had to do. It's been difficult. But yeah
it's hard
not
to
proud
do.
Of that.
Yeah, it's hard to do. I understand.
I gotta. Yeah, about a 3 month streak though.
Really?
For about 3 months, I got every single ring closed, and that was difficult. It involved a lot of pacing at late at night, but yeah, eventually I got it down. But streaks are made to be broken, I'll have to start over. But the 2018 one will be a good time. I'm gonna try to do all of January, not just 7 days, but yeah, it's important to stay healthy. And as my job is demanding more and more editing and more desk work, it's very easy to forget that, you know, it's getting tricky, especially when, you know, you sitting at a desk is working. So when you're not working, you don't necessarily want to get up and go running or go biking or walking.
Yeah.
That's not your first impulse. You're like, I'm tired. I'm tired and mentally exhausted. I want to just lay down. So,
mm-hmm.
It's harmful. It was a lot easier back at the ranch, you know, when work was your workout. So when you were done with work, you could basically eat and do whatever you want. So
definitely.
Yeah, it's a good incentive. I'm looking forward to it. I got to get every single medal. I've got every medal so far.
Really? Good job. Yeah,
every single medal they've ever had, I've gotten.
Wow. I cannot say that.
I never give up on that.
That is... That is... That
all
is
of the
cool.
Not every award, but I mean every special day, you know.
Yeah. Like the Veterans Day and the Earth Day and all those.
Yeah, Earth Day and That it's been fun. I'm glad they do that. I wish they would actually do that more often. It's kind of fun. Yeah,
it is.
I had some ideas for that activity sharing thing. I thought one thing that would be kind of neat is if they the first person, like perhaps in your time zone, could kind of show up great.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Out in the background so you could see who's ahead of everyone else.
Like
what if activity sharing went national? You know, like you could see everyone in your state
like
or
ranked,
in your area.
Yeah. Be like you're number 54 of 10,000. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be crazy, but I don't know. It'd probably devoid with Apple's privacy data and stuff like that. But I don't care.
Yeah,
it's calories. I mean, how personal is that? It's like, oh look, I can spy on someone else and find out that they burned 300 calories today.
Ooh.
Oh no, it's this personal data. It's so dangerous. I know that you didn't wake up.
Yay. It's also, I don't know, I don't activity share with anyone, but I think it would be kind of weird.
Oh, really?
Because I don't have any friends with an Apple Watch besides you, so there you go.
Well, I'll add you.
Okay.
I got, it's just growing. I just added my dad the other day, and because I bought my new one, Louise, I added her again. So I've got one, two, I got Louise, me, my editor, Nathan, other Nick, my dad, and Xander, so...
Cool.
Quite a lot of names there. And now I can add a second Nick. And I'll have two Nicks.
That won't be confusing. But, so you know your stand ring, right? You can go down and look in the detail in your stand ring and see when your first stand was. That's I think that that's a little personal. Like, that kind of tells everyone when you woke up and when you went to sleep. Like, I don't know.
That's true. Well, maybe like with the Nationals thing, you don't attach a name to it. You provide who's in the lead.
Yeah,
and it's
I
anonymous.
Can see that.
I don't know.
Yep.
One thing that always kind of bothered me about the stand tracking is that they use a bar graph, even though it's just a yes or no kind of tracking thing. It's not like a how long did he stand. It's just a did he stand.
Yeah.
And they use a bar graph. I'm always being confused about why they went with that decision. So there's like all these... Sindler, big tall pill looking things in that graph area. That's like, you stood for 1 hour and I,
1 minute
hour, and
in the
like,
60 minutes.
Yeah, I mean it can never really be two. It's never been two, but they measure it like that. I don't know. There's another desperate grasp at a watchOS 5 idea. I'm impressed by. Sorry, I'm still looking at my iMac Pro. I can't get enough of it. My desk is too small still.
Well, that's a good problem to have, I guess.
Yes. I think I need to upgrade pretty soon. I'll be getting a new desk. That's 2X, by the way. Don't tell anyone.
Oh, okay. I won't tell anyone. Secret safe with me and the 1,000 people who are listening to this right now.
Perfect. You guys, now you know it. Drew's getting a new desk. Changes everything. Oh, one thing I think I forgot to bring up is they include a screen cleaner with the iMac Pro.
Really? Like those came back?
Certified. Yeah, they used to have them in the older Macs.
Oh.
But in the more recent 2016 MacBooks, they didn't have them.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have like the official, it's a screen cleaning cloth with an Apple logo on it.
Wow.
I forgot to make a post on it.
Yeah,
you should
sell that.
I should have brought that up at the last stream.
Yeah. Sounded like everyone
make our money back.
Everyone wanted it, but no one wanted to pay $500 on that stream. Yeah. So try again next
time.
That's
the problem. I want it too. And like I said, you know, this stuff is exclusive, and I bought it and unboxed it myself. I'm totally fine with keeping it. I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can convince me I don't want it. If someone offers an absurd amount that's totally not reasonable, then yeah, I can change my mind. But yeah, I like this stuff a lot. Even the trackpad I've been using more recently, just to experiment with. I haven't used one in a long, long time. It's not bad.
Yeah, cool.
Comparing it to the mouse, about which one's better, but
I didn't realize that it was the so I went to the Apple store and saw the Magic Mouse in the black color, and I didn't realize that it's the same shade on the aluminum part on the bottom as an iPhone 8 and 8 Plus that are in the Space Gary configuration, and I guess I just assumed that it would be even darker than that. I was kind of surprised when I picked it up. It's like, interesting. Things I didn't realize.
I love the matchingness of everything. It's a pure example of Apple knowing their audience very, very well. I've yet to charge a Magic Mouse 2 with that new perfectly placed lightning port. I'm excited for the first time. I thought about getting, have you ever seen those wireless charging adapter things where they're like a really thin strip that you plug into your iPhone 6 or 7 and then you tape it to the back of the phone so that it could wirelessly charge?
Seen those.
A tape-on thing. I thought about getting that for a Magic Mouse. I was trying to figure out if that would fit. I think it's a little too small, but it'd be interesting if your mouse and keyboard could wirelessly charge. I'd like that to happen someday.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought of that.
Also, are really good on the iMac. During Talos of Gaming streams, I used it.
That sounded pretty good. I was surprised when you'd mentioned that those were just off the iMac. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I'm used to plugging in my Zoom mic that I'm recording this with to computers when I want to live stream with them. Because, MacBook Pro, really great, but definitely not great microphones. And I can't blame them because all those microphones are embedded into a very compact and filled with fans unibody. But the iMac Pro was able to keep it quiet, and they were able to put in some pretty decent mics. Did you see the video where I brought up that there's a handful of sensors at the top?
Yes, I saw those on the Mac I was looking at in the Apple store as well. Those are kind of weird.
Did you notice them?
Yeah, but I specifically looked for them because you mentioned that in the video.
I'm not really sure what they do.
Yeah, they're smaller than the ones on Face ID, so obviously they're not for that, but weird.
I'm not really sure what they do. So I think I've discovered that the one to the right of the webcam is a green indicator light for when it turns on. So that's normal. That's usually there. But the one on the left, I've never seen turn on, and I'm still curious as to what it does.
Mysteries.
I could really dig a Face ID iMac.
That would be cool.
I could see that working. It's actually been nice that I forgot that I have two Macs now, and both of them can unlock with my Apple Watch nearby. So now whenever I walk up to the iMac Pro, I just press the spacebar key and it unlocks because it sees my watch on, which is really neat that my tiny, tiny Apple Watch is cooperating with this giant beast. It's just weird. And also when your MacBook Pro is right next to you, if you open that, it will also unlock with the Apple Watch. The other day, my friends were live streaming in the lobby with my MacBook, and they needed to access it, so they just walked into the tech office, opened the laptop, and then it unlocked and walked back in. So that's how they access my equipment now.
Well, better make sure you don't fall asleep on the job. Just walk away with it.
True. I'd like to test if someone was on the outside wall of my office and I had my Apple Watch on and they opened my MacBook, could it unlock? I'm not sure. We should test this kind of stuff.
It's important things to test.
Yeah. So, do you have any other questions to get to? I'm trying to not focus too. I tried to not talk too much about the iMac Pro this week, just because I know I talked about it a lot. I did a first impressions video and the unboxing videos. I was like, I think people are getting kind of tired of I don't want to be disrespectful or get people sick of the same topic.
Never, 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 never.
Eventually, this will be normal and I'll get used to it.
Yeah, so what was the first Apple beta you ever ran?
Apple beta?
Just kind of random questions that I feel like haven't been answered anywhere else, because I've watched almost all of your videos, if not all.
you do a good job trying to ask other people questions that don't get answered during the live stream on this thing. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad.
I believe it was, I think it was an iOS update. I think it was really? Or was it? I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time. Basically, as soon as I started getting into tech, I started trying to figure out how you get the betas, just because I wanted software early.
Uh-huh.
So I definitely had the iOS 10 beta. I know that for sure. I can't recall if I got the iOS 9. So I'm going to say I did. I do believe that was the first time I got switched up to the beta, because I was so interested in what was coming out. So yeah, I wanted that beta.
Yes.
And I believe there was a macOS one. I think it was Yosemite, because
yes,
that was the one where all the designs changed and it was like super, super noticeable. So I was like, I need that on my Mac now. So I immediately enrolled it, and it was like, make sure you have a backup of your Mac, because it could not turn back on. I was like, whatever, I don't care.
Yep.
So I didn't even back it up and I went straight on the beta. And yeah, I went to Yosemite as soon as I could. I believe that was my first beta, and now I'm on the beta everything.
Me too, unfortunately. Just getting the iPhone 10, I was trying to restore it from a backup from iCloud, and I had to get the iPhone 10 on the right beta so that I could download the backup. That was a hassle. Spent like 2 hours at the Apple store today. That's fun.
What was your first beta?
My first beta was also Yosemite, but I definitely remember it as my first beta. I was so excited.
That was a very divided one. I remember people.
Yes.
It was the first kind of major UI overhaul to macOS in a long, long time. It had looked very similar for years and years and years.
Yep, and they changed it all up.
And since then, it hasn't changed too much. High Sierra is... all the updates since then have mostly been about the optimization and software enhancements on the hardware.
Yes.
Which I've liked. It's been very noticeable. Like, I'll update to a new version of macOS and my older Mac will get faster at stuff, which is great. But yeah, I haven't noticed there's really not been any kind of UI changes since then.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. I think... they learned from it, probably. Like, I really liked it, and I thought it brought the macOS platform to a more
unified,
modern, unified, minimalistic look that really, really complemented iOS and stuff well. But then after that, they had no need to change it very far. Kind of like iOS 7, you know. There's been very minor tweaks since iOS 7, but for the most part, a lot of it's the same.
Mm-hmm. Flat design.
Yeah, iOS 7 and Yosemite were the big ones.
Mm-hmm. I remember
the most noticeable changes.
Yes, I remember when I got Yosemite. It was I was waiting for the public beta to be out, and I think that was in the middle of July of whatever year that was. And I'd gotten my wisdom teeth removed, and when I got back home, it was like 4 p.m. I was still all drugged up and not fully cognitive, but I saw the beta was out. So I installed the update while I was still drugged up from the wisdom teeth sleeping goop juice that they give you. I was just like, oh, wow. I was dedicated.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was so excited. Oh, no, you have no idea. Too, I was so happy.
Experience.
Like, yay, it's out, finally. I can't count to 5, but
next day,
yay.
Your computer looks all different, yeah.
Yes.
What did I do? I'm fine with this, but what happened?
Nobody knows. Yep.
Yeah, I'm excited for, like, I don't even know what they're going to do with macOS next year. It's even faster now. Like, I don't know.
Probably macOS Ultra High Sierra. Yeah.
I don't understand why any Mac doesn't have hands-free Siri built in. It should. I mean, there's no battery. Like, especially the iMac Pro, as we saw that leak a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
of the hands-free Siri option on there, which would be really, really neat. It would basically turn it into a HomePod.
True.
But Siri acts kind of differently on the Mac, I've noticed. I got the new Mac and I try to experiment with it. She sounds different and kind of doesn't know as much. It's weird. Usually I can say, Siri, play this, and because I have Apple Music, she'll just play it. But on this one, it's like, I can't find it in your library. And it doesn't sound right. It sounds more robotic for some reason.
Oh, are you just talking about general macOS Siri or the one specifically on the iMac Pro?
Well, I'm talking specifically on the iMac Pro because I haven't used Siri on my MacBook in a long, long time. I don't really know how she is on the other ones, but...
Yeah, she's pretty bad.
Doesn't sound the same as my phone.
iOS 10 era. Mm-hmm. Doesn't know very much.
Yeah, not as beefed up, I can tell. But that's fine. I don't use digital assistants crazy a lot. That might be a good topic as a little update on my Google speaker situation.
Okay. As long as you don't say good things recently about the Pixel.
No, Pixel's not being brought up at all. The speaker situation's been kind of weird because while they're very, very cool at first, I'm definitely starting to experience that I'm used to this now. I don't find myself using it much anymore. Like, changes the lights, plays music, and that's really about it. Especially now with the iMac Pro, it's got such good speakers on it, and I'm using it anyway. It makes more sense to play music out of this. But also, more recently, especially not with my friends and myself, we'll say hello Google, and it will not hear us quite often, and we'll oftentimes have to repeat ourselves, which is getting annoying. Like it almost feels like the smart part of it is getting worse. Maybe we're not saying it right or something. But more recently, we have to say it twice every time, and that definitely gets tedious and makes me not want to use them more.
Yeah,
That's a big issue with digital assistants is that if they're bad, you don't want to go back to using them. So even if they get updates, you just have a bad experience with them. So you don't want to go back. So it's kind of a death spiral, you know, like, well, it's not working too much anymore, so I'm not going to use it. And then if I don't use it very much, then, you know, it gets neglected and it's not important anymore. And it's weird because now it'll go off and start listening even when we don't bring up the word Google. We'll just be having a normal conversation and they'll go brunk and they'll just turn
weird
on, even if we're watching a movie, like, and we're not even saying something that rhymes with Google. Like we'll say a sentence, they'll go off, we'll say the same sentence again and they won't go off. And it's just like, I don't know, I almost wonder if Google, like, if they don't get their products used for a certain amount of time, maybe they get ultra sensitive, maybe they get like hypersensitive to anything that could remotely sound like hello Google. So like they do something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Huh.
But they're definitely showing their age in very short weeks, which is what I predicted with the Home Minis, you know, is that they're cheap and they're fun, but they're gonna lose their funness very quickly.
Yeah. Huh. I hadn't thought about
Max that. Max is fun. Yeah. The Max is nice, especially if you want to play something loud in the lobby. We'd just be like, okay, play it on this speaker. But the Mini's not so much. You know, they're just kind of there. They're sitting around. I kind of want to plug in my Max to my iMac Pro and see if I can get both speakers to go at once. But there's some programs you have to buy to make that happen, I think. So
your neighbors would
either
not
way,
like
it would
that.
Sound really cool. Yeah.
Wow.
It'd be an interesting setup. Here's my gaming setup. iMac Pro with Google Home Max attached via aux cord. Yes, I know.
At 100%.
Yes, at 100. Oh, my God. That would be insanity. I'll have to try that someday.
Hear it from space.
Yeah. Doing 5K at 60 with the loudest smart speaker you can get.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Oh my. Hmm. So how did you become an Apple sheep?
Oh man.
Like, was there an event or like memory?
It was really
or
in
like...
the family, honestly. My dad, even before I was born, was always kind of the Apple guy. He has been a teacher for 20, I believe 25 years. He's coming up on 25 years.
Really?
And back when he just started teaching, which was of course long, long ago, he was kind of the IT guy, the tech guy. He was a teacher, but he knew the most about the computers at the schools he was at. And one of the things he had to do a lot of the time was set up. And back in the day before PCs got really, really popular, lots of schools would just buy Macintosh. That was the computer. Uh-huh. That was the school computer. So for the longest time, he just knew that Macintoshes were, you know, the reliable ones, and they did the most, and they were always pricey. You know, even back then, I think the desktop Macintoshes were $4,000 or $5,000.
Yep.
Crazy expensive. So they couldn't get classroom sets, but they would use them for the classes. And he's always been a technology first kind of teacher. So then when they made the little beige boxes that I used to have in my background. Macintosh. Yeah, classics. As soon as those were available, they became the family computer for the mm-hmm. family. Even before I was born, the family just kind of ran around that thing for the very, very basic amount of stuff it could do. Dad used it. And later we upgraded to the Macintosh Performa, which was a bigger all-in-one. You know, it could have... Uh-huh. Floppy disk, CD drive, speakers, and big screen all in one thing. And that's kind of probably the first Apple product I think I ever used. I believe it was called a Performa. It was a big old thing. It doesn't work anymore, but I still have it. The family doesn't want them, so I collect these things now.
Hey.
We play Oregon Trail on that and Kid Picks. When I was a little kid, that was like the most fun you could have at home, was playing Oregon Trail and Kid Picks. Which was just drawing, basically.
Uh-huh. Yep. I remember Kid Picks basically... very well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Back in the good old days. That's what a computer was.
Back on my grandpa's Quadra. Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Quadra. I remember that, too. And then, I think we upgraded to the iMac, the very original iMac after that, which my dad still has, I think, 8 or 9 of those that he uses in his classroom to this day. Still work. They're as old as I am. They were made in 1998.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I guess for a long part of my childhood, that was all I knew. That I didn't even know what a PC was. I just knew that as a computer. So then obviously, you know, when you do go to your friends' houses and you sleep over and you find out that there's different kinds of computers, and back then it was probably Vista, Windows 2000, and stuff like that.
Yikes.
those were my experiences with a PC. And I just noticed that, hey, these are cheaper. And I asked my dad, you know, like, can I buy that one? It's only, you know, you can buy this PC at Staples for, I don't know, something stupid, like $100. And he said, no. You don't want to get that because... And I love my parents, and they've taught me everything I know, and I'm very grateful for all the things they've shown me. So when they taught me at a young age that when you buy a PC, you're prone to viruses, you're prone to it breaking, and you know, it's very different now in a lot of ways, but at that time in particular, PCs were known for being cheap. There wasn't Microsoft made hardware back then. The primary developer for PC stuff was Gateway, and they were known for you know, $100 machines, $200 machines that would last 6 months and then die. And then the Mac was known for being thousands of dollars but lasting a long time. And that was basically the Mac versus PC debate back when I was a kid. So I just kind of knew from a very, very early age that it's like, well, PCs are cheap, but they don't work as well. So in the long run, an Apple is worth it because it'll last longer. And I guess that kind of ideology has always stayed with me. And back when the iPhone came out, I still watched keynotes and I watched Steve Jobs introduce it and stuff like that. And I always kind of sided with Apple ever since I was little. So that's why I knew I could never go on YouTube and claim to be unbiased. People ask you to be more fair and stuff. It's like, no, if I tried to be unbiased, you wouldn't believe me. It'd be a total lie. So yeah, I guess Apple Sheep Origins was just, it was in the blood.
Yep.
It's the family dynasty. You know, I'm actually thinking of having my dad on this podcast pretty soon to just talk about the kind of stuff he started off with, because I believe the kind of stuff he started off with was not Apple computer. That wasn't even a thing back when he got his first computer. So he's got a lot of stories about why he's still that way. And here my dad is a fan of Apple since the very, very beginning, and he's wearing an Apple Watch and he's using an iPhone and works on a 12-inch MacBook and an iPad Air. So he's his whole life has been that way. So that's just kind of how the family's done it.
Yep.
And because I'm so defensive about it, and because I love the tech so much, it's something I'm very passionate about. Whenever I'd be at school, ever since the third grade, as soon as someone tried to tell me that Macs were dumb or PCs were better, I always had a counter argument planned. It's kind of been in me for a long, long time. So,
wow,
there wasn't really a time in my life where I was unbiased on that topic. It's either that's all I knew or that's all I would consider. There was a time later in high school when I decided that, I think Windows 7's getting pretty good, and I think Microsoft's kind of heading in the right direction, and I think Macs are better, but I need something with some good processing power. So that's why I made the jump to that gaming PC. And it was good at certain things, but I tried to have my unbiased phase, and I tried Android phones, and I tried PCs, and I realized that I was right to be biased. You know, it's fair to say that these are not good, and it was fair to say these aren't as welcome. I found myself fighting tech. That's the one thing I don't like doing, and I noticed that when I invested in a PC or when I invested in an Android, I have to fight with it to get it to do what I want. I have to tinker with this. I have to argue with it. I have to figure out what I'm not doing right with it to get it to work the way I want it to. And that's the curse of Apple. They've got me hooked on that, is that I'm just very accustomed to my technology turning on and working.
Yeah,
that's what Apple gets you used to, and it's very hard to get out of that once you're in that loop. You're just accustomed to I turn it on and it works.
Can't beat that.
So I guess I guess that's how it all started. It was just in the family. How did you become one?
Yeah, it was very similar to you. My grandpa was actually an educator for 45 years or so, and he was a Macintosh owner, got the very first Macintosh, and worked his way up to the 15-inch MacBook Pro he owns today. My very first memory of any computer really was on my grandpa's Quattro.
Yeah.
I think that's it. He had the painting thingy on it, and I just remember drawing on the computer with the mouse.
The kid picks,
Yeah, I just remember thinking that was like so cool. I was probably like 4. It's like,
that's
whoa.
How it all starts. Interesting time for us.
Yeah,
watching Apple unfold in our lifetimes. Yeah.
Yes. How exciting!
It's fascinating.
So I know your first Apple device was an iPod Nano, I believe. Was there like a story or a reason why you got the Nano instead of like something else, or is that just the one at the time?
Yeah, well, my family had iPods for quite a while, but I was always so young, I didn't get anything. I didn't even get hand-me-down computers. I was supposed to be playing outside, and I did.
That's good.
I think we had some form of iPod before they had color displays or anything. It was like an e-ink screen.
Wow.
And the family had an iPod that... It had the click wheel that wasn't a trackpad, you know, the one that actually physically spun.
Oh, wow. The very first one?
Is that the only one that did that?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm
not all up to buff on that.
But yeah, I remember the very first iPod we had was the one where the actual wheel turned. It wasn't a trackpad. And then I think we updated to... Because my parents just liked having music play in the living room. And then I think that was getting old, so my mother bought a Nano 3G, the boxier one, which I still have to this day. I still have that in my collector's box. And that was the first one with the color display. And I believe you could play video on it. It had had some basic games on it that I really liked playing. So I was always trying to get my hands on that when the family wasn't around. So iPod was kind of my first introduction to a mobile Apple device that wasn't a computer. And I really, really wanted one. So I did a little research and found out that there was probably a refresh coming very, very soon. So I saved my pennies. I mowed lawns and saved as much as I could. And then when that 4G came out, yeah, I wanted that. So the rule was, see, back in that day, I couldn't just afford something. I had to ask for permission to buy
Definitely.
It. So I asked if I could, and they said, well, maybe if you're good and if Santa allows it. So actually, me and my mom went to Walmart here in Oroville, bought one there probably a couple weeks before Christmas, and then said, and then she said, well, Santa will bring this to you Christmas morning. So I bought it with my own money, but I didn't get to use it for 2 weeks. They had to wrap it and put it under the tree, and then said, well, if you're good and you do your chores and you're responsible after paying for it with my own money, I thought I deserved it, but this is how I was raised.
Well, that's good. Hello World episode 25, right?
Yeah. They were keeping it away from me, and they were making sure I appreciated it. I never took it for granted, which is probably a good thing. Christmas morning, I unwrapped it, and that was my first officially owned Apple product. Everything before that, I just kind of borrowed from the family.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, and my sister got an iPod Shuffle that same Christmas. Ooh. So I guess we're coming up. We just passed an anniversary for Drew's first Apple product.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years ago that was, whenever the 4G was new. But yeah.
2006. If my memory serves me right, I could be completely wrong, though.
That sounds about right.
Someone can correct me on Twitter.
I still don't know where it is. I still don't know where that silver one is. I really would like to know. I feel like that'd be worth a lot now.
It would be.
It's like the Talos of Tech's first Apple product. But yeah, I never knew what happened to it. We'll find it one of these days.
Yes. Oh, wow. Well, fun memories. What was your favorite Apple keynote? Like, it doesn't have to be the most recent one. Like with not like product wise, but just like the suspense and the hype and the how satisfied you were with it. I don't know if you have any standout keynotes in mind that were your favorite.
Yeah, definitely. Recent ones have been great. I liked what they did with the keynotes in 2017 because they had a lot to say. They had plenty to cover. Some keynotes in the past have been very uneventful.
Yeah,
they'll spend a whole 2 hours on like two products and it's kind of boring. But I like that this year they waited for lots of stuff to be ready before they announced it, which was good. But one in particular that I think will always stand out to me was I was able to ditch class and I watched the Apple Watch unveiling keynote.
Oh,
what I loved about that one was it wasn't confirmed. There was no leak of the Apple Watch. There were concepts, and the Mac Rumors was kind of like, it might be there. We don't know. It wasn't a for sure thing. So when they unveiled it, that was kind of the very rare time that doesn't happen very much anymore where I got to see an Apple product, first generation, brand new, revealed at the keynote and not via some leak or via some rumor. And it was a completely original design that no one had theorized. No one thought it was going to look like that. Most of them looked like wrist bracelets or they looked round. So no one got it right. So watching that live at school be revealed for the first time. I believe it was unveiled along the first 5K iMac. So that was also a really exciting time. We were expecting a 4K iMac. It was like, oh, is the Retina display finally coming to the Mac? And then they announced on stage, this is a 5K iMac. We're like, what the heck? Like, it was mind-blowing. So that keynote probably stands out to me in the long run.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm hoping for a similar experience with the AR glasses, but we'll see. Hopefully no one leaks those.
Well, they wouldn't be doing their job if they didn't leak them.
That's true. And I got to do my job and leak them too.
True.
If they do, I'll still report them.
Sounds good.
But yeah, it's been a fun, well, I think we've closed up our hour now, but it's been a good podcast. Did you have any closing thoughts before we wrap it up for 2017?
I really don't.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for watching, and thanks again for Nick for trying to make the podcast as best as possible. And again, if you have any comments or recommendations, you can tweet at Talos of Cast on Twitter. We're active there, and looking forward to all the podcasts we'll have in 2018. It's going to be a big year.
Yes, it will be.
This is your Apple Sheep here, and I will see you next year. Have a good one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.